working on the road, they hauled some ground in there on this end here, but these two we filled with ground. Here there was a big pile of, there was a little knoll of black ground. I suppose the black ground they took off to get the clay. And here there was a pile of clay too that was out, I suppose, for when they, if they needed some extra clay or something like that, it dried up this way, you see. Mm-hmm. But we worked that in with horses, mm-hmm. with a scraper, and we filled this one, and we filled this one, so then there was only this one left.
Was it unusual to have this clay in ponds? I mean, was this an unusual location, or did everyone have clay in their ponds?
Well, they didn't have use for the ponds. See, it was to get ground to build the brick, to make the brick.
That's
otherwise,
why
the, other people, they didn't have ponds.
No, no. No. The ponds were to
they had a,
to
they had
get,
a ditch that
to get
out.
The clay.
Oh.
To get
so
the clay.
Were these ponds natural, or did they have to?
No, they had to work. They had to dig that ground out to make the clay.
Oh,
they had to
make the brick.
They had to, I suppose, shovel it out.
Or maybe shovel it.
Shovel
but
it
maybe
out.
They took it out with scrapers, maybe too.
Well, yes, but they had to get it in that cart.
Yeah.
To go up there. So.
Then Pa used to haul sand from Dykesville, huh?
Sand from the Grand Canades in Dykesville. That was the right kind of sand to make. It has to be a certain kind of sand, and as you get into Dykesville there, if you look on the south side of the road, there's those sand hills there. It was right around, across from the church there, there's sand hills there, and I think it was sand from around there that they used to get. It's a, you might say, a special kind of sand, a sand that'll melt, I suppose, to melt with that clay mixture to make bricks.
Mm-hmm. Now, this pond later, after they dug it up, then it filled with water?
It filled with water, and sometimes it would come halfway up to the house here, that it would be full, sure.
And it didn't have no way, as long as it didn't have any way to go out, as long as the ditches were frozen, the water would keep on going up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it would come so far that we'd have water in the basement, but that only happened once or twice in my lifetime, I guess, that we had that much water in the basement.
Yes.
But then once it had its way, then in 1 hour or so, the water was all gone.
Yeah, there's a ditch out there now.
There's
a ditch, but
now.
It fills up.
But sometimes, it freezes solid, and it takes longer to get that open than an open
and
body.
Snow,
like
it depends. Snow, and if you have snow and then thawing a little, and it turns to ice then.
And there was a pipe in there over there down someplace. Sometimes it takes longer to see.
But
it was very, very seldom. Well, I would say twice that I remember that we had that much water in the basement. We could step, it wasn't over our shoes, but we could just step and make our way.
That was in the spring when everything was thawing. In the spring?
In the spring, But now, like the neighbors at DuPont there, they were high up too. They had water in their basement.
Oh, Spitzers there, pump water out all spring long.
At depots, they had that in the summertime.
Where Audrey Tillyard is now, it was in August when we dug the basement from under the house. I mean, the house was built without a basement, but then they decided they wanted a basement. So it was in August, and we're digging the basement out, pulling a scraper in there, and then pulling it out with the horses, I guess. With a tractor.
Yeah, Strabel.
Maybe it was. And water was seeping in, but they said it's on account of the woods there. But and Spitzer.
Oh yeah, Spitzer.
They were pumping water out of that basement almost year round.
Yeah.
And yet, they are right on the divide there. The water that flows, you might say, where Jacobs is there now, the water that flows on that side the yard goes to Base Settlement. The water that flows on this side goes to Lake Michigan. And yet, they're right on the peak there, and they had water in the basement, that house next to Jacob's there, that Spitzer place. So it's queer how the water works.
Yeah. But you never only had trouble in the basement here one time, if you can remember.
Pardon?
You only had water in the basement here one time?
Twice mm-hmm. that I remember that mm-hmm. that there was a little bit of water. But Ma would say, well, the water hasn't had a chance yet to move out. Mm-hmm. But then, in no time at all, then once it started to move out, then it was gone. We, as far as that was concerned, we never were bothered with water to say, mm-hmm. to any extent.
That's good. He does have a sump pump in here now.
Oh, you have a pump in
here? Yeah.
Oh.
But he said he didn't have any trouble. He,
no.
The people who were here before we were.
Barb wanted to hear you talk some about the Peshtigo fire and what you were either told about it or heard about it.
Well, Grandma was putting
it well,
in
you
the...
Well, you see, the house here... This part here was built first.
The part farthest to the east was built
the
first.
The east part. But then from the wall there,
from the
even
wall?
with the wall inside the bedroom there or the room there, that was built, this part here was built in 1872.
Mm, right after the fire.
In 72. The Peshtigo fire was in 72, but the old grandma, Joanne, old grandma, great grandmother, you might say, died in the winter of 73. It was in February of the winter of 73, because it was the winter following the Peshtigo fire. And they had a blizzard just at the time she died. So they kept her in this part here for a week. They couldn't get out, you see. Mm-hmm. And the roads were blocked. There was 4 or 5 feet of snow on the level. You couldn't see the rail. Fences were all rail fences at that time. So they couldn't see any fence or anything. Fence or any landmark or anything. They couldn't tell where the roads were or anything. So they, at the end of a week then, the storm let down, so they went, they made a box, and they put her in there, and some way or another, something like
a sleigh,
and they went straight across the fields there, headed for Champion, right mm-hmm. cross country, you might say, mm-hmm. and when they got to the cemetery, it was all one big, big pile of snow there. They couldn't see any gravestones or anything. So there was a barn there.
DeCaster?
The old DeCaster's barn there. And they said, well, right from the barn here, there's nobody buried right here anyway. We'll dig here, and they dug
how
the snow.
How could they dig in the wintertime? Like huh? How could they dig a grave in the wintertime?
Well, with 4 feet of snow, maybe there was no frost. So, and maybe they took an axe along too to cut if there was any frost. But anyway, they dug down there, you know, where they knew this is the cemetery here, but over here we know there's nobody buried here anyway, and this is open, you know. So they dug there and they buried her hmm. away from the others.
And I remember that wasn't Grandma expecting or something when they had that Peshtigo fire, and they had a cistern in the shed there, and Grandpa said,
yeah.
We're going to lower Grandma in there if we have to run. We're going to lower her in there. She couldn't follow, and she would be safe in that cistern. There wasn't too much water in, and they would go. I remember they used to say
yeah, that. She was supposed to go in that in that cistern.
Did the fire come across this land?
It must have threatened, but I don't know if it did or not.
Well, it at the chapel, you know where the chapel is?
Robinsonville?
It burnt, what is it, the farmers brought their cattle there, and they made a procession and prayers, and I don't know what, and it burnt up to the fence, and it never crossed the
well,
fence.
Well, some places, I suppose, land was cleared, you know, that would cut the fire lane,
yeah.
Break the fire lane, so...
But it was a threat all around.
Yeah.
Wherever there were woods, it was burning. Right?
I suppose dry summer, just like now,
yeah.
Fire runs along. But here and there, there were clearings, I suppose. So then, well, that cuts it off.
Must have been just like this year.
Just about.
But when it's windy, you know, and dry, and that it once starts, and all so much timber, so much wood.
This wasn't the Peshtigo fire, though. The Peshtigo fire was at Peshtigo. Mm-hmm. But this was a fire that started about the same time, somewhere around the Cedar Creek Mill there, or you might say where you get out of Green Bay there, that tavern there, what they call that, I forgot what, that tavern just as you get, as you turn to, just before you get to the Poor Farm there, or the okay. Brown County home there, right. One of those places, yeah, around the poor farm there, but there must have been a sawmill there, lambs, it started by lambs, they said. Now, lambs, I suppose, was a sawmill, you know, and mm-hmm. the fire started like around there and swept this way. The Peshtigo fire was further north. I don't think it was connected, but it started at about the same time.
Same weather.
A dry summer, you see. It could have started any place. But then it kept running. Well, then...
But it must have gone to Sturgeon Bay,
at the same time, it must have been way up to around Sturgeon Bay, because there's that on the other side of on this side of Sturgeon Bay, and on the other a few miles north of Brussels, there's that big cemetery there.
Tornado. Mm.
That big cemetery, and it was... from the fire. So it must have run pretty well all the way up the peninsula there. But I don't think it was any way connected with the Peshtigo fire. It was two different fires, I think. I ain't sure, though.
Now, there were fires in Algoma, too.
Algoma? Possibly yeah. so. But this year seemed to have followed the shore here, you see.
In...
It went through Dykesville too.
It went through Dykesville and went further up too.
A few years ago, when they had the centennial for the fire, I read in the Algoma newspaper and they had dug through their files and found some old accounts, and apparently, of course, so many of the people in this area had just recently come from Europe, and the word of that got back to Europe. And the people in Europe sent all kinds of supplies and clothes and things. And the article said that you could tell where each group got its shipment from, because one group had like Russian clothing, and another group had Belgian clothing, and another had Turkish clothing. And it was like care packages, I guess, that we sent today.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was very interesting to me.
Is there a wardrobe still upstairs there?
Yes.
That was from the Peshtigo fire.
You'll have to come up and we'll show you there.
I mean, a big deal for clothes.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's too big to take down.
You can't take it down.
No.
I lined it with cedar, you see, at one time.
Oh, it's beautiful.
But the thing in itself was from the... I guess that was in Green Bay, and nobody wanted it because they couldn't cart it home, I guess. And Grandpa...
Well, they had no room for it, but you know...
No room for it, too, maybe. But Grandpa said, well, if nobody wants it, I'll take it, I can use it. So, and Grandpa was handier. I suppose it was knocked down. You see, you can't... Well, I suppose people didn't know, how in the world am I going to set that up?
Grandma had to go along, because she was pregnant, and they were giving baby clothes, but you had to have evidence that you were going to use them. So Grandma went along. I remember they used to say that. And those clothes were coming from old country. Committee, they used to say.
Yeah, a committee. Well, I suppose, yes, a relief committee. Yeah. It was the committee stuff. So. But that wardrobe was from the Peshtigo fire, or soon after the Peshtigo fire, you see. But I suppose it was knocked down, because it's all set up with dowels. It ain't nailed, you see. It was set up with dowels, you see. And so I suppose you had to put it together and drive the pins in.
Do you remember where there was an outhouse on the farm when you were younger?
Outhouse, wait, there. Yeah, it was... From the house here, it was back here someplace, I guess.
Was that the only one there was? Or was that the only location it was ever in?
Well, then we...
You mean the outhouse?
The outhouse, yeah, but then it was back here, yeah, well, back of the house. But then we had another one. This was
same place they got a
over here, I guess. Yeah, we had one over here, but then I don't know the.
Definitely.
Yeah, over here, but that disappeared too, I suppose.
It disappeared.
Yeah. Well,
which one is the old? Is this a new one, newer one, or is this a new?
This
one?
Was the old one from years ago, and this here one. Then we had one here. Yeah. So that.
Were there ever any doors on the back of the house here to the? The south side?
No, it was just the way it is now. See, there was a this was the
there,
beer. This
there,
was
yeah.
This was built. This piece here was built to make beer. You see?
Oh, really? That wasn't the summer kitchen then? Huh?
Oh no, that ain't no summer kitchen. It was used as a summer kitchen, but this here part was the kitchen. You see, this is the log house,
right.
And this is frame. You see, this is 2x4s. You know, mm-hmm. all around here, but this was built in 1878. It started in 1872. In the winter of 73, it was only framed. It was cold. I mean, there was no heat in here or anything. It was just roughed in, and that's how they kept her a week. They kept her, you know, dead a week here because they couldn't get out, and it was cool here.
So this was under construction, whereas the other was,
yes,
they still lived in the other
This
part.
One was just roughed in, but they were living in the other piece there.
This must have been built when Uncle Lambert and Uncle Dave were about 15, 16 years old, wasn't it? Remember the carpenters told Grandma that...
Yeah. Yes. That wall is high here because Grandma was afraid that the boys would have to go and nail the rafters at the peak here. So she wanted that wall to go all the way up, and she wanted a roof. A straight roof like this, so they wouldn't have to go and nail the. But she didn't tell anybody. She wanted that wall way up, and she wanted a straight roof there. But she never told why. And then afterwards, why in the world did we have to? But the masons, oh yes, that was a good idea. That was a good idea. He'd have another few days' work. You see, building that piece there, and was. What was his name?
I forgot what his name, but I remember they said that way that was to his advantage.
He took advantage of Grandma that way, of Grandpa, but they asked her, well, what was the crazy idea of you wanting that wall there? Well, I was afraid for the boys to nail that. Well, good God, they said we could have nailed that together and raised it up like this, and there wouldn't have been anything to it. I never thought of that. So that was the idea, you see, but...
Well, he pushed that on.
Well, he pushed it too.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any other sheds? Any other buildings that were sheds or a pump house or something?
There was the pump house.
The pump house where the stump is there.
Right.
So that would be right about.
Yeah.
And there was the machine shed over there under the cotton tree.
And the machine shed there.
And the garage.
And the garage.
Could you sketch those in on here so we know about where they were?
Well, the...
Maybe some of them overlapped.
The garage was maybe something like... Well, no, a little further...
Yeah, I think you can still see just about where the garage was.
Where the garage was, about where this barn, part of the where this barn was here, you see, it was alongside the driveway here before you get way back here. This was the garage, and the machine shed. I don't think there's anything left of that.
A little bit west of the tree.
Yeah, west of the tree, the big tree would be.
Probably right here, isn't it?
This is the, what is that, granary?
That's the granary. Here's the house.
Oh, yes, here. But then, the machine shed was, about here, maybe. Yeah, about that.
What did you use both of these barns for?
This was just a barn to section like for hay or something like that, and a driveway in between here, like this.
So
see?
Was it like for a threshold?
That one, you mean?
No, that.
That one I don't remember it at all.
Well, we sold it for $95.
Well, you sold it at the auction, but
No. We didn't sold it at the auction.
No, Max DeCain.
Max DeCain sold it for us for somebody from Humboldt there.
$95. I never remember that.
Box. Yeah, 95.
I just remember those piles.
Those foundation. There was a foundation made out of mortar, stones, you know, and mortar.
And
say, three of them here, you see, and then, one here, and then on the other side here, and then three here, too, for the posts, you know, to set on.
The other one, that was a Jungstaff barn, wasn't it? Jungstaff.
Over there. That was a horse barn.
Oh.
Then there was a thrash floor going through, yeah, too, but they closed that up. They bricked it at both ends. That was a chicken coop then.
Oh,
chicken,
yeah,
coop.
I remember.
And then there was a cow barn. And then there must have been one for the young stock, the one that fell down there.
I remember that there used to be young stock in that.
Well,
barn,
we kept young stock in because...
But I don't know what it was.
Because we had the other barn. But over there was the horses. Then there was a thrash floor going through. And then there was a... But they closed that up and made a chicken coop out of it. Then there was a cow barn. And then there was another barn on this end then. I mean log, all log stuff.
But see, I never remember the horses.
Oh, no, they never kept horses in there,
no.
But it was the old horse barn.
Yeah, originally.
And the floors were all made out of cedar blocks, arborvitae, you know, what they call them, cedar here now. Oh, that green stuff, you know. But they were all blocks about so big and about so long, and they'd set them in, you know, one next to each other, you know, that was a floor. And then the backs at the end, and they had a plank there or something to keep that, you know, and down under it was sand or something like that in between the blocks. So it made a pretty good floor, but...
I remember it was pretty hard to clean.
Oh, yes, it was hard to clean, yes. But it was a floor anyway, better than having ground, you see. It was...
Frank, do you remember hearing your grandmother or grandfather talk about how much money they paid for the 40 acres when they first...
$250. Here.
$250 for the 40 acres.
For the 40 acres. They bought that from Landwehr. Landwehr was a land agent, or, you know, I suppose somebody that had connection with... Well, you might say a real estate man.
Landwehr, huh?
Landwehr, yes, yeah, Landwehr.
And was that purchase then the first purchase of the property? They were buying it from the United States government then.
Well, Landwehr might have bought it from the United States government, and then them bought it from Landwehr. You see, I suppose there were speculators at that time, you know. And
it must have been, otherwise they wouldn't have built that first house themselves. No? They built that first house themselves.
They built that first house themselves.
So nobody,
maybe somebody
owned the land, but they didn't develop it.
I see.
No, somebody owned the land, but they didn't develop it. It was just like buying a tract in Arizona, you see, and then selling it out, I imagine. That's the way it was. You know, I just go by what we used to hear, you see. But it was $250, and they bought that when they came over. And
the 20 acres over there, what did they pay,
$25? $20, they bought it on taxes, you know. People, well, the fellow didn't pay the taxes, but he did. He owned the 40 acres, it was a Vandenack. He had the 40 acres, but you see, supposing this was the road here, so he kept, he kept 10 acres here and 10 acres here, you see, and this here part, he wasn't going to pay taxes on it, because if he paid taxes on it, he was going to leave it go for taxes, because he wasn't going to, he didn't want to pay taxes on this 20 acres. See, there was 10 acres here and 10 acres here. So that way, nobody was connected with it, so they wouldn't want this here piece, you figured. Nobody would want it,
That was a scheme then.
That was a scheme, you see. So he wouldn't have to make half a day of road work. They had to make a day of road work for every 40 acres of land they owned, no matter the valuation. So he told Grandpa, I ain't going to pay taxes on it. I'm going to leave it go like that. So Grandpa said, well, that was Van Nack. But another fellow that lived a little further up, you know, said, someday when I have money, I'm going to buy that land. That's a good 20 acres of land, he says, a good wood there. There's a lot of nice lump timber in there. So that was an old drunk or a fellow that never, well, he never would have had $20 in his in years and years, you see. So Grandpa figured, well, he's never going to buy it. Somebody else is going to gobble that up. So Grandpa went to the, Grandpa here was quite a bit around the courthouse, and he knew different guys. You know, Grandpa here could talk 9 languages and read 7. You see, so he could mix with the Germans, he could mix with the Polish, he could mix with the Bohemian, and any language, you know, that they talk, he talked with them. So you know, he could get around better. I mean, better than you would if you only knew one language, but then you were stuck. No matter where you went. But in those days, the Polish talked their language, the Germans their language, and the Belgians their language, Walloons their language, and the Flemish their language, the French. In Bay Settlement, it was French. So language was a handicap in those days if you only knew one language. So Grandpa here, he could practically go anywheres and talk with anybody. So he found out, you know, that go to the courthouse there and see about that land. Well, yes, you could get it if you want to pay it. There's $20 taxes to pay on it. Well, all right, I'll pay it and $20. So he got that piece over there for $20. Wow. That was the way in those days. Nowadays, if you don't pay your taxes, the county buys it. But in those days, it was different.
Right now, there's this little garden plot back here, but were there any larger gardens then when you had the farm?
Oh, yes, there is a garden back here. There was, I don't know, is there still
the big garden there?
Is it still on?
There's a small garden there.
Huh?
There's a small garden behind.
Small garden. Oh, right, maybe they made a garden, but you see, I haven't been here for...
Well, the last years that I was here, now that's 10 years ago, I always had the garden, well, all in back of the house. And up in the asparagus, mm-hmm. up to the asparagus here, that was all.
But we worked the garden over there too.
Well, used it after Art got it, huh?
Before Art, because the last year I was here, I had a garden over there too. But
Frank had a garden there when we first got married.
Yeah,
is it just down in the corner here?
More like here, let's say, a little further out here, yeah.
Okay.
Out that way,
a little bit more out this way.
No, out that way, right?
Something like that.
Well, that's close enough.
And well, I was born here, and all this land here. Well, some of that land wasn't all cleared, you know, when some of that I plowed the first time. You see, like. That patch back here, you see, to those trees over there. Mm-hmm. And by the tree right back there was another...
But in between Fred's fence and... Well, there was a patch that was cleared by Fred's fence. But then in
but then on this side there was a... I'd say there was maybe at least 7-8 acres that had never been plowed, you see. It was cleared, but never plowed. And some of those big pine stumps were in there yet, you know. But we blasted that out, and we plowed that.
But at the time my dad died, he owned 32 acres down here.
Yeah.
But after he died, then I sold that, then she couldn't run it.
See, Grandpa Ossos was married twice. He was married to a minister.